Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marnie and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Marnie Swedberg. I'm excited to have you along with our guest, Jill Valdez, one of our speakers over at WomenSpeakers.com. Today, we are going to be talking about how to grow our businesses and ministries during COVID-19, and we're going to be talking about media marketing and growth strategies for such a time as this. Our guest today is Jill Valdez, and during the next hour, you're going to discover how to view the COVID-19 challenge as an opportunity for growth, the marketing adaptation you have to make as soon as possible, the key to significant conversations, what to focus on while waiting for things to turn around, the ABCs of marketing success during COVID-19 and beyond, how to think about money, and why you must not pull back on your marketing efforts right now. Jill Valdez is a business consultant, ordained minister, certified life coach, podcaster, and energetic speaker who mixes humor and storytelling to demonstrate the truth of God's word, inspiring confidence to overcome obstacles. She shares strategies for increased engagement while helping you achieve what's next for you. And you can learn more at her website, which is linkedconsulting.info. Welcome to you, Jill.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Marnie. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm so glad you are here. And this is a topic that we all need to hear right exactly now. So we're about, at the time of this recording live today here, we're about 7 weeks in, getting close to 8 weeks into COVID-19 when everything has changed. Our entire world got flipped around, especially when we think about churches and speakers and event planners and women's ministry coordinators. This has really turned all of this upside down in the way that we don't really even know how to think about the future. How long will it be? Will things go back to the way they were? And when might that happen? So during this interim time, our minds are busy trying to figure out how to survive this and how to get through it and how to actually maximize it. And I wonder now, you wanted us to start with, I love this starting point. How should we view the COVID-19 challenge as an opportunity for growth?
Oh, yeah. This is, you know, I've heard it said so much. These are unprecedented times. I was recently talking with a lady. She's 99 years old, and she's never seen anything like this. So we've never been in this place before, but that doesn't mean that life has to completely stop, that ministry stops. None of that stops. My husband and I, we just moved. We literally moved 3 days before everything got shut down. We came to start pastoring in a new church, and then all of a sudden we didn't meet. But we're still excited about this opportunity, realizing that we can still grow. Life hasn't stopped. People haven't stopped going forward. And here's what I've recognized and what we're seeing. Everyone is on social media so much more than usual right now, right? Mm-hmm. If you go onto Facebook, if you go onto LinkedIn, which is typically branded as a professional kind of social media platform, Instagram, all of these social media platforms, people are out there and they're on there so much more because they're home, they're bored, they're looking for ideas, they're looking for connection. So for people who own their own businesses, when you're thinking about marketing and growth strategies, your ideal client is spending a lot more time mindlessly scrolling through their social media feeds, looking for something to make them laugh, looking for something to make them feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's kind of changed. I know for me, doing the work with the WomenSpeakers.com and my own ministry, the interactions have changed, which kind of takes us into the next thing that you wanted to share with us about the marketing adaptation to make ASAP. People aren't clicking on exactly the same kinds of things that they were clicking on before. They're clicking on some different types of, and they're still clicking on everything, but there has been a shift into what they're actually looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to think about adapting to the current reality of your ideal client. And the current reality is that they're not looking for pithy sayings that are irrelevant to the times. Like when I scroll through, sometimes I'm seeing a couple of agencies that are still putting things out as if organizations are meeting every day and that nothing has changed. And I just scroll right by it because it's irrelevant. So what is the current reality of your client? What is the current reality of that person that you're reaching out to minister to? The current reality is that they're home and they're all in this state of upheaval, like not knowing. This all came very fast. And even though we're 7-8 weeks in, there's still that unsettling kind of feeling. So just adapting what you're putting out there to the current reality of your ideal client.
One of the things that you mentioned that I thought was really, really profound and so on target was to post more things intended to generate laughter or to generate a sense of well-being, a sense of there's hope, there's a future, we're going to get through this. I think that it's important for us to recognize where we are.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, Marnie. There is enough bad news out there already. You know, people are inundated with stories that are fearful and keeping them in this place of worry and anxiety. And so when we're putting things out there, when we're connecting with others, we want to be bringing hope. We want to be talking about the hope, you know, the hope that Jesus brings. We talk about how relevant the word of God is now. He says to be anxious for nothing. And it's interesting when you look at all the times that either the Lord said or an angel said to people in the Bible, don't be afraid. He was speaking to them when they were already in a circumstance that they were afraid.
Right.
He recognized that they were fearful and he said, don't be afraid. So those are the things that we want to speak. Don't be afraid. We know what's going on around the world. God knows what's going on around the world. And yet here's the hope that we hold on to. Here's positive that's happening. Here's good things that are happening. I was speaking, I talked with a lady yesterday and she used to be a professional clown. And so she was like, I have to make you laugh before I end this conversation. And she sat on the phone for about 5 minutes and just told me joke after joke after joke. And I felt so good after having talked with her. She just made me laugh.
Aww. So how do you do that yourself? Like, do you actually go look for funny clips or how do you add humor yourself?
So that, I mean, that's a variety. My life is full of lots of humor. So sometimes I might post about something that has happened to me or is going on in my world. But there is lots of great stuff out there. You can Google dad jokes or, be looking for funny videos and posting that kind of stuff. Also, too, just even something that maybe the Lord might impress on my heart or an encouragement that I have, something that I've read, then I'll put that out there as well.
That's cool. I don't really have a process in place for adding humor to my social posts. I'm going to really have to think about that and see what I can come up with. And one of the things I know that I learned with speaking that's been really helpful for me with humor is that if I personally find something extremely funny, like it totally tickles my funny bone, then that's what I want to share because that resonates with who I am. And other people who know me will get a kick out of it, even if it's not terribly funny to them. They'll get a kick out of it just because they'll resonate like that sounds just like Marnie. You know, I mean, that's
sure.
Kind of how when you're sharing humor, make sure that it is congruent with who you are. And then it's going to work for you. What doesn't work is to share humor that you kind of think is funny, or that a lot of people think is funny, but you don't think is funny. And so you post it because a lot of people thought it was funny. Don't do that, because that's not congruent with. And I'm always, especially for the speakers, but in any kind of a public person, I'm always looking for the congruence. How are things, like, does this feel like you? Everywhere I see you, does it still always feel like you? Or is it, can I tell that you've hired something out to somebody else who isn't you, or that you're just kind of stretching a little bit? Does that make sense to you, Jill?
Oh, it does. That's such a great point. There's been such an emphasis on authenticity and people finding their voice. And it's true. You have to speak the way that you would normally be speaking and who you are, as opposed to trying to project some sort of persona, you know, and that goes back to even just social media. It's kind of compelled us to create this need for comparison and making sure that I look so great on social media. And then we start kind of losing ourselves. That actually happened to me when I first opened my business. Is what I found was that I was really horrible at marketing, and I needed to figure out what I was doing. And so I read a bunch of different books, and I went to free webinars, and I was listening to all these different people and trying things according to what they said were going to work. And one day I gotten off a call, and my husband was like, "Who are you? Because that was not Jill Valdez talking to that client."
So easy. It's so easy. And, you know, so we say something like add humor to your social presence. And, you know, we just go throwing stuff out there that isn't anything like who we are or what we are. And that's really important not to do. I just posted one, I think yesterday, the day before, and it was a series of photos of mama animals with their little babies or cubs or whatever. And they were so cute and funny. And so I guess I kind of do a little bit of that, but it's often quite a while before I see one that really, you know, it's not every single day that I see one that just tickles my funny bone or that I think, oh, I just love that. So just make sure, stay congruent with who you are. The other thing we wanted to talk about next was conversations. And you actually wanted to share with us what you feel like is the key to significant conversations.
Yeah. You know, people are feeling isolated. We are not able to have that human contact. Even talking on the phone is great. FaceTime is fantastic. I'm so glad we have those. But it's just not the same. And there's just this feeling of isolation. Like, I don't even know who my neighbors are because we moved in and everybody had to isolate. So making connections with people, it's super easy to do this in a non-salesy way. And what I encourage, especially business professionals, if you're talking about a marketing kind of mindset, is start thinking about how you would have a conversation if you were at a networking event, if you wanted to get to know them. And so there's a few questions I typically ask. Like if we connect on LinkedIn or Facebook, I'm going to ask you, what's been rewarding? The second question I'm going to ask, if it's not a parent, and obviously this is situational, so if it's not a parent exactly, then I'll say, so what do you do? Tell me more about what you do. And then the third question I'll ask is, what do you like about what you do? And that generates a response. And again, this is conversation, even if it is through messaging or through texting or email. And then the last question I like to ask them is, how did they get into that? So again, I've created a relationship. I'm making real connections, which I would do if I were meeting somebody in person. Like, if I were meeting somebody in person, I wouldn't go up to them and say, "Hi, I'm Jill and I'm with Link and this is what I do and would you be interested in my service?" It's making that connection. It's the same thing when you're on social media, is having conversation, not expecting it to be just one message and then you can move into this business aspect, this transactional aspect.
The key is, yeah, perfectly. Because the key is that conversations have to be you focused, not me focused.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. We want to, with people being so much more disconnected from others, they have stories to tell. They have life that they've been living in, and they need to have an opportunity to get these feelings and these thoughts and this process and their experiences out to other people. And that happens in conversation. So finding out about them, finding out what their story is, it's not going to turn into a sale right away, but you're going to have this connection, which is another prospect in your pipeline when you're thinking about from a marketing perspective.
Right. And I think just kind of an aside, but it relates here, is that if somebody is just telling you story after story after story after story, just while they're talking to you, just pray, because they're really lonely. We're all used to having a certain number of conversations each day, just in our typical course of events. And especially our extroverts are really struggling right now. This is tough. They are not getting nearly the amount of engagement that they are used to or that they're built to accommodate. And so if someone starts just really talking and talking your ear off, just know that's exactly what they need to be doing right at that moment. And that God has positioned you for such a time as this to actually comfort them and come alongside them, to enjoy their stories, to enjoy that you get to be the one to be there. And again, I think, you know, it's kind of a different, it's a very different thing. It's not like you can't make sales right now or you can't go there at all, but it is extremely different. It's not the same as it used to be. And so right now is not the time to just be hard driving and closing all the time. Right now is a time to be really more laid back and about the progression of the relationship without having any of those normal strings and actually pressures on the relationship.
Yep. I read this book. It's called The Referral of a Lifetime by Tim Templeton. And he describes four different personalities when it comes to salespeople and people involved in marketing. And you're either business, business relational, relational business, or relational. And the thing is right now, we can't be super focused on business. So those people who are very business focused, they're having to stretch. They are having to figure out how to keep doing what they're expected to do, of making connections, of making new bridges and marketing, but with the understanding that now more than ever, everybody's wanting relationship. And so if, you know, I encourage people that if you're involved in a conversation, if you've got a sales call, if somebody's on the phone with you and they're trying to sell you something, they might not be trying to be rude. They might not be aware that of your current financial situation. It may be that that's how God wired them, that they are just business people, and that they're kind of unaware of the fact that there's other relationship issues, that there's other things going on. They're very focused. But for those other people who have those relational aspects, this is an opportunity for them to let that part of them shine, to let their personality, to let their empathy and their compassion and their interest in other people come out and be significant. And very memorable. Those are things that for some people who are awake at 2 o'clock in the morning and fretting over what life is going to be, those conversations that you have with them can be sources of joy and sources, the fact that you showed them compassion, the fact that you listened, the fact that you gave them an opportunity to share their story, that's going to be soothing for them. That's you're being Christ-like to them.
And I even think as often as possible, always, but especially now, to watch for the opportunity to pray with individuals, even individuals in parking lots, in other situations where you see someone and they need assistance, or you start a conversation with someone even 6 feet apart. And if you are just open and paying attention to the spirit, God is really opening hearts all over to consider him in a way that they haven't before, because this is so traumatic, and people are thinking a bigger picture than they usually think. I think people are thinking outside of just work and schedules and stuff. People have more time to think, and the future is very uncertain. And so a lot more people are open to the things of God, and we are his ambassadors. We are here. We are the light of the world. Christ's light through us to the people in our
absolutely.
Life. So don't rule out the idea that God could just be using you in a conversation to turn a heart toward him and to actually be open to that. I remember Jill, when my Nana, my mom's mom, she was quite an evangelist. She didn't lead her first person to Christ until she was 40 years old. But then after that, she led someone to Christ almost every day of her life. And she just was such an evangelist. And as she aged, she wasn't able to go out anymore. She had to stay at home mostly. And so she prayed and she said, God, how am I going to lead people to you, to salvation, if I don't get to go out? And God just prompted in her heart, I'll bring them to you. And he did. He'd bring to her door salespeople and people who got lost, or they had a flat tire or whatever. And then also people would call her like with a wrong number, or they'd call her to sell her something. She'd lead them all to Christ. She would just lead them all to Christ. So I love that. I know she's quite a example to all of us, that when things change, God doesn't change. He is still just as able to flow through us as he was before. And it's just new and different circumstances.
Oh, so much so. I love the adaptability of God, his creativity. I think about the verse where it says his mercies are new every morning. His creativity, I mean, you think about the fact that he has to figure out how to bless somebody, how to bestow on somebody new mercy times over 7 billion people times every day. His infinite right. creativity of that. And he's doing the same now. I mean, I think about I was talking with a pastor friend of mine, and they were like, oh my gosh, how are you handling the fact that you came to this new church and all of a sudden couldn't meet? And I was like, this is a total God thing, because right now we are able to do Facebook Live. We're building up our online presence, and we get to do it with absolutely no backlash from anybody. Because it's just the way it has to be.
Right.
Experiment with things that we wanted to try.
Yeah.
And now it's working. And it's so, yeah, I love when God does stuff like that.
Right. And I think that our picture of God too is pretty small. He's just so huge, and he knew this was coming. And like we were talking about taking ministry online. Wow. All the churches who were opposed or didn't have the know-how or the support staff to do this, wow, in the last few weeks they have figured this out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
God has just given high motivation to getting this particular aspect of ministry up and running across America, across the world. And what a thing it is. You know, we're seeing, and I've mentioned this before, but we're seeing, like at our little church, you know, one of the broadcasts had over 1,000 people. You know, usually we have 40.
Right.
To just think of that. Yeah. It's just, it's truly amazing. So Jill, what are you focusing on while you're waiting for things to turn around?
Yeah. I'm focusing on what can I give away for free? And I'm freely giving it. Like
I at the beginning, I was worried about this, like, oh, I don't want to give away all my stuff for free, because then if I do, then they're not going to need me and they're not going to hire me. But I'm giving it away. I have material from workshops. I have, now that I'm turning into webinars. I have a company I'm working with right now. They can't pay me because of their significantly lost income, but they still need my service. So I'm giving them some of my service. I'm doing some coaching. Obviously, it's not a full service. I'm not skimping either, but what happens is I've created an opportunity for them to keep growing, even though money is an issue. By giving it away for free, I actually get to show my heart. I get to show my joy of investing in others. And then as soon as the economy turns around, then we get to have these conversations about how much more I can provide a company. So I've already established trust. And really, at that point, it becomes a no-brainer for them. I had a conversation yesterday with a lady, and we were talking about her job and some of the struggles that she's going through. And I said, you know, I teach this workshop on communication. I'm going to send it to you, and please feel free to pass it along to some of your other coworkers. And if I can be of any help for you guys, give me a call. And yeah. That's something that I would normally do, and a workshop that I would normally charge for. But right now, most companies are not in that place where they can do that. And so what do you have? What do you have that you can give away for free and then freely give it?
So I'm going to kind of jump ahead a little bit too. I want us to talk about money right here before we move on, because this one to me calls on the bottom line trust level of who is our provider. And all of us have to get here at some point where we come to the realization that while an employer, while a, you know, maybe a contractor or a, you know, an organization has been providing a paycheck to us or has been providing income for us, it all truly comes from God. That is, He is who is our provider. And so I've often through my life and you know, everywhere from, you know, very well to do with a very tight, really in bad, tough shape due to business setbacks. And so what I've come to just recognize is that people all over the world trust God for their daily needs. And God provides in radically different ways, sometimes just enough to, you know, my friends in Africa, just barely enough for sustenance. Whereas I have friends who are multi, millionaires and more than enough. And God is okay with all of these differences. And all of this will make sense to us in heaven while it's not necessarily here. But coming to a point where we can just trust that He will provide enough for us, and that with Him, it is more than enough.
Yeah, I have been so blessed in my life. Like you, there were days where it was beans and rice and Jesus Christ, and most of the beans and rice went to the kids. But God was so faithful, and then there have been times where we have been blessed with an abundance, and I want to be sensitive to people who are struggling financially. I want to encourage them with the word, with the truth, because when you look at Matthew 6:33, which so many Christians just blatantly, you know, we just throw that out there. Oh, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. That is the truth of God's word. And when you put that into context, the context of Matthew 6 and of that verse is exactly these kinds of things. He was talking about taking care of our needs, our housing needs, our food needs. And so he promises that he will. I know that there's some people who would say, okay, that's great, but I have bills that aren't getting paid, or, you know, I don't have food, or I don't have gas. And I know that sometimes people get get off track with their finances. My husband and I did for quite a while when we first got married. The truth is, and the bottom line is, and what I know God to be, and my experience and the experience of many that I know, is that as I've continued to be faithful to the Lord, He has been faithful to supply for me. It's not always been what I've wanted. It's not always been to the extent that I've expected. I have never been in a situation where God did not provide. There was a time in our life, finances were kind of a part of it, where we didn't have somewhere to live. And we were in between jobs, and we had not been very good stewards at the time, so we didn't have anything for savings or anything like that. And yet the Lord opened up an opportunity. My sister-in-law said, "Hey, come and live with us." And she made that happen. She sacrificed, and God had put that on her heart. Money, right now, and honestly, from a worldly point of view, from a natural point of view, when you think about what is happening economically, there's nobody in the travel industry that's doing anything right now. There's restaurants and coffee shops and retail stores. All of this, it's crazy. And it could be really overwhelming when you think about the economic impact. I'm grateful for a government that has together eventually to get to a point where there was that stimulus check that went out that helped. I know how it helped my kids. But we're still in pretty scary times. But then I go back to what I said at the beginning of the show. It's in these scary times that we rely on the truth of God's word, that we listen for Him to say, "Don't be afraid." And He says, "Don't be afraid. I have a plan. Don't be afraid. I am your provider. Don't be afraid. I'm going to make this all work out for your good, because that's what my word says, is that I cause all things to work together for good for those who love me." And that's where, it's easy to think that money is going to be our security. And I think one of the things that this pandemic has shown us is that money is not the source of security, because even the virus and who it has affected, it didn't matter whether they were rich or poor. It's affected all economic classes. It's affected across ethnicities. It's affected men and women. It's been no discriminator whatsoever. And so to think that money is going to be a shelter from all of that I think that this pandemic has shown that that's just not the case, and that really it takes us as believers back to the truth, and that is that Christ is our shelter.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And back to the life of Jesus, where during His 3 years of ministry, so previous to His 3 years of public ministry, He was a carpenter. That was His income. He did work and He got paid for it. Then He went into ministry and that all changed, and He didn't have that steady income anymore. He didn't have the place to live anymore. It was totally different and upside down compared to everything He was used to. And during His whole life, whether it was while He was earning a living or while He was doing ministry without that security blanket going on there, all that whole time He was looking to God for everything He needed, and God was providing everything He needed. And so, we just look again at where have we been putting our confidence, and it belongs in Christ and God alone. And as we rest there, we really truly can experience peace and even joy in the midst of this thing. And as it goes forward, I've been comparing it, Jill, when I think about the potential realities, the potential consequences or effects of COVID-19 and the shutdown that we've been in. When I think of it, I can think of it so far, and then my mind kind of goes into a spin, kind of like when I try to think of eternity, like God always was and always. I can think of it so far, but then my mind actually can't It, because it's too big for my brain to try to figure out exactly where this could go or will go, I can get into trouble there and get into a lot of fear there. And that's the point at which God says, you're going to release this now. So you have what you're supposed to do today and what you're supposed to plan to do coming up in the future. And then when it gets to the point where you're like, I can't possibly prepare for all of the potentialities of what's coming at me. Great. That's the beautiful point then at that moment to say, okay, in this, perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. So I stand in the love of Jesus Christ and I am okay.
Yeah, that's so good. Yep.
You have it's the ABCs of marketing success, and I want you to share those next.
Yeah, so it's not so much about the ABCs of marketing, but it is about ABCing your list of connections, which through that formula, it will lead to success. And it goes back to what I read in that book, The Referral of a Lifetime. And it's taking your connections, making a list of who you know, who's in your circle, who's on your radar, and then making, like, you rank them, A, B, C, and D. So A's, they are your stark raving fans. You've either provided them service before. I mean, this could be like your best friend too. Like my best friend, she's one of my A's because she kind of knows what I do, but she would give anybody a great review of me and say, oh, you need to work with Jill. So she's one of my A's. Some clients that I've worked with, they're on my A-list. And so who's on your A-list? Who are those people that just think you are the bomb at whatever it is, whether it's ministry or whether you own your own business, who thinks you're the bomb? They're your A's. And then your B's are people who are aware of what you do. They're kind of, they have a general idea, but they're not necessarily fans yet. They might like you, but they're not like, oh, wow, you know, jumping up and down to get a part, to be a part of your world. And then your C's, these are people that know you. They kind of know what you do. You know them. And you're not really sure what you want to do with them. Like, where are they going to go? Are they going to become potential clients? Are they going to just continue to be acquaintances? Are they going to be referral sources? You're just not sure about them. So they're the C's. And then in all reality, there are D's. And the D's are the people that you just will never reach out to for growing your business or for growing your ministry. Not because they're bad people. They're just irrelevant. Like, I've done this with my LinkedIn connections, and there's just people, you know this, if you go through your social media and your friends list, it's like, why am I friends with that person? Who is that person? And so those are kind of going to be, yeah. So during this time, what you want to be doing is reaching out to your A's and check on them. See how they're doing. Send them an email, a text, maybe set up a time to FaceTime with them and ask them, how are you doing? I had one of my A-listers email me back, and she was like, she runs a nonprofit, and she said, I can't believe you asked me this. She says, even my board hasn't checked in to see how I'm doing, and I'm not okay. And people think that I should be okay because of the fact that I'm in charge and that I'm the executive director, but I'm not okay.
Right.
So reach out to your A's and check on them. Find out how they're doing. Find out how you can be a resource for them. What is something that you can do to help them through this time, whether it be listening, whether it be offering, like I said, going back to that, giving something away for free. But just check on them. The other thing then is to reach out to your B's. And what you want to do with them is you want to move them closer to becoming A's. Use this as an opportunity to not only get to know them, but also be able to share with them the things that you do. Having those conversations that are going to make that relationship deeper, so that you can then move them up to an A status. Reach out to your C's. Find out what your next steps are with them. What is it that you want to do with them now, and what is it that you want to do with them in the future? This is again, we have to think about this in the long run. Like, what is the long game? This is not going to be going away quickly. Even when they talk about opening up states and resuming what people are labeling as normal life, that's not going to happen overnight. And so we have to think of this in the terms of not what's going to give me immediate results. It can give you immediate good feels, but it might not necessarily give you immediate results for your business or your ministry, but in that saying, okay, what's the long term, and where is this relationship going to go in the next 6 months? How am I going to continue to nurture this over the next 6 months? So the ABCs is really looking at who you know, ranking them, and then having touch points with them based on their ranking. Does that make sense?
It does. So I, especially the A makes a lot of sense too, for people who you already know and they love what you're doing and everything, to check on them makes perfect sense. Kind of almost like a parent would on a child or a best friend would, you know, that close relationship there. When we get down to the B and C, it's a little less clear to me, like how would you recommend, like with a B person, they're aware of me, they like what I do, but maybe they haven't, you know, they haven't ever raised their hand to, you know, give financially or to, you know, get involved, but they kind of like what they see.
Yeah.
So
yep.
What would you say for them? What would be an example of something that we could do for a B?
So for my Bs, what I would suggest people do, and what I've been doing myself, is reaching out to them, setting up a time to have either a Zoom session or a phone call. People right now are more prone to accepting Zoom just because it's that face-to-face.
Right.
Yes, I know. It's so good seeing people. I am one of those extroverts that is feeling quite distraught these days. But reaching out to them and going back to some of the points I've made earlier, having conversation with them, learning more about them, because then once you've invested time in them, they're going to be more prone to asking questions about you. I mean, it's just common conversational practice. How are you today? I'm good. How are you? What do you do? Blah, blah, blah. This. What do you do? You know, so it gives opportunity to have that conversation. And as you continue to listen to what they're saying, finding out more about them, then you start thinking and identifying opportunities and how you can be a resource for them, how you can add value to their life. I want for me personally, one of my core values is that when somebody is done with a conversation with me, that they feel better, like that they have something that's going to make them be a better person than when we started the conversation, whether it be because they're feeling better or because they have an action plan. You know, that's not necessarily defined. It just depends on the conversation. So that's the same thing with your Bs, is reaching out to them, getting to know them, and then identifying how you can be a resource for them, how you can add value to them in the immediate and then also in the long run. So it may be with some of your Bs that you're getting to know them better. You've had this connection, which is great. You know that you can be a resource for them, but not right now. So that opens up the opportunity that when things go back to being more open and working forward again, that you can reach out to them and go, oh, hey, Georgia, I loved that we got to talk a few months ago. I loved getting to know you better, hearing more about what you're doing. I've been thinking about some of the things that you talked about, and I wanted you to know there's actually things that I might be a good resource for you, and then start talking about what those would be. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think I'm glad that you went back and you said about, you know, that your goal with the conversation is that they leave feeling better in some way, they leave feeling better. And I know that this particular aspect of marketing, it's always been, you know, it's this fine line between using people to get what I want or serving people to help them achieve what God has them doing. And
yes.
It should be really clear and obvious, but sometimes it gets kind of muddled up, mucked up a little bit, and we start feeling like, oh, this is just all about me trying to get new business or whatever. But the reality is, you guys, that God has equipped you to serve the community, to serve the world, to serve his children, to serve non-believers, to serve the people in your sphere of influence in a particular way that nobody else can do just like you. And some of what you do is going to be given for free. Some of it is going to be charged. You have to charge for it. And some of it, people will charge you to get it done.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, yeah. The bottom line is if we think about a grocer, if a grocer every day would say, you know, I just feel so guilty charging people for these groceries, and I just can't do it. I need to just give them away. The problem there is that that's not the type of setup that God has that to be. So there are food banks that do that, but the grocery stores need to keep charging for food. When they have expired food, that's still perfectly good, but the expiration date, that goes to the food bank. I mean, God has set this up so that I like to call it body life. It all works together to accomplish everything that's needed. And so for you to just relax and to say, God is my provider, not the person I'm talking to right now. God is my provider. And now my role right here is to learn more about this person, to get to know them relationally just as a human being, to find out about what God has them doing in the world, to consider if there's some way that maybe down the road or even right now we could collaborate in some way, partner in some way, and just to encourage them right here during this conversation. So I think that this, you know, COVID-19 is a great opportunity for us to all learn how to do relationships without thinking so much about what's in it for me.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a great point, Marnie. That's fantastic. Yeah, it's definitely making us think about the people around us and how we can make their world a better place. That is certainly one of the things that I've enjoyed on social media is, like, I have a friend, and every Friday night she's coming up with some sort of an activity or a challenge for her followers to engage in over the weekend that's going to make people laugh. And so when we're thinking about how to make other people's lives better,
yeah,
it's such a great focus. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. I love that as a mission. That sounds really cool. The last thing that we want to share is why not to pull back on marketing efforts right now. And one of the things that I learned so when I was a teenager, I worked as a manager. I wasn't even 20 yet, and I became a manager in a fitness business. And one of the things that the owner told us was that during the Great Recession, or the Great Depression, sorry, during the Great Depression, cosmetic sales did not dive. The sales of cosmetics remained strong because women were, especially lipstick, because women, they had to feel good about themselves. And so it was their one thing that they allowed themselves to wear lipstick. And during the recession, then we learned that the businesses that continued to market through the recession were the ones that came out really strong when things turned around. The ones that just kind of put their, you know, put their sign on the door, closed down for good, and just went into hiding. Those were the ones that really struggled when things were better. It was very difficult. Many of them went out of business. It was difficult for the others to get back up going because they shut so completely down. And it was their perspective of shutdown. Everybody was affected. But how we think about this makes a big difference.
Yeah. And marketing and business growth and ministry growth, it's a machine and you have to feed it. And it doesn't matter what the external circumstances are, you still have to feed it. If you're not investing in getting the information about what you do or your ministry out there, then when all of this is gone, you're starting from scratch. And
right.
It's going to be difficult. People, I mean, a lot of things have shut down, but life hasn't like completely stopped. I mean, even, which is crazy, but even Charmin is still putting out toilet paper commercials, even though people can't find toilet paper. You know, that we have to keep our message in front of people. Otherwise, when life gets back going again, oh my gosh, starting from scratch is daunting. It's and for a lot of people, that's why businesses don't make it, is because they lose momentum and they stop, and then they're like, oh, I got to start all over again. You're actually starting from farther back than you would if you were starting fresh. So we absolutely have to keep marketing, because whatever our business does, it may not be something that people immediately need right this second,
right. But
they're going to need it. And you want to be that person that has been speaking into them, has been putting your brand and your message in front of them, so that when things get going again and they're ready to jump on that and get a part of that strategy or that ministry, they'll know exactly, it's a no-brainer. They'll know exactly who they're going to be going to.
Right. And it is, you know, the illustration is a locomotive. So if you have a locomotive that has 50 train cars behind it, getting that engine starting, getting that thing moving is just
difficult.
Or you think about a launching of a rocket and how all of that, you know, all those explosions have to go off in order to just get it going. And once it gets going, it's not that hard to keep it going or get it going faster. And so as you're thinking about what can I do right now to keep going? What can I do right now to even grow my sphere of influence, to grow my connections, to grow just to grow in grace, to grow in confidence and in dependence on God? What can I do right now to grow? Just keep asking him that. And what I am finding is that this period of time is so unique. And God is, I talk to so many godly women throughout the week. And what God has us all doing is very different from each other, but amazing work in the world during COVID-19.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
So exciting. And just I just encourage you that if you have felt like depressed or hopeless or just overwhelmed with worry and concern, I just encourage you to just get close in with Jesus and just just do a word study on Do Not Fear. Go through and read some passages. Those people, everybody in the Bible who God said that to, or an angel said that to, they were terrified. In that moment, they were too down. That's why he said it, because he knew, I know that you're scared, but you don't need to be afraid. Perfect love casts out fear. And I just encourage you, God has specific work for you to do right now for him. And it's maybe really different from what you are doing. And it's probably really different from what you're going to do in the future. But believe me, God's plan for you has not stopped just because COVID-19 stopped us from hugging each other. Or now with masks on, I can't even, I smile and nobody, I can't see theirs, you know. I miss so many things. But yet, this has just been an amazing time. So, Jill, do you have a favorite theme verse for life or a key verse?
My favorite verse is 1 John 1:9. And it's not like the most exciting verse, but when I think about it, it says, when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For me and my life, God has been so gracious. Mm-hmm. And the freedom that comes from confessing my sins to him, and then that overwhelming emotion when he freely gives forgiveness and grace.
Yeah.
There's nothing else like it.
No, I totally agree. It is, literally supernatural. And the fact that we can be so broken and so faithless at times, so self-centered,
yeah,
his love just keeps on coming. It's just amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, that's so cool. Well, this hour has flown by. Jill, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And you guys want to make sure you go check out Jill's website at linkconsulting.info. Jill, when they go over there, what are they going to find?
So it's a pretty basic website. They're going to learn a little bit more about what the services are that I offer for businesses, of helping them with their people development and providing those strategies. They're going to find, obviously, how to contact me. Also, I have been a guest on podcasts quite frequently, and so they're going to find out what those are with links of where they can go and listen to them, and then just what other people's experience has been from working with me.
Right. And you you help people with the marketing side of things, but you really enjoy working, too, with people's teams.
Yes. My passion place is providing those strategies for companies to develop employees who are highly engaged, who really have an approach that they're owners versus employees, and to watch them with a development plan of how they can move forward. I love it. It's absolutely fantastic.
Well, that's great. And I love that God equips us all uniquely to accomplish all the work that there is to get done. Jill, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Marnie. Thanks for having me.
And you guys, thank you for being here. You can learn more about Jill at linkconsulting.info or over at womenspeakers.com. And I'm so grateful that you've joined us today. And for those of you who share the program on your own website, thank you so much for that. You can get a download player box at blogtalkradio.com/Marnie's Friends. Put that right on your own website if you want to. And also, available on iTunes all over the web. And for those of you who are Christian women speakers, we would love to find us at webspeakers.com. For those of you who look for speakers, and I recognize that right now everything's shut down, but if you're looking for someone to help with online events, we're looking forward to 2021. You can visit us over at webspeakers.com. There's over 1,000 Christian women speakers there, all eager and waiting to serve you. What a time, what a season we're in, and what a bigger God we serve. He is so much bigger than anything that we would say is a setback or a concern right now. He is bigger, and he's got all of this and all of our future for now and forever. He's taking care of it all in advance. So we don't have anything to fear, except fear itself. So why do that? Because perfect love casts out fear. So press hard into Jesus, eyes off the waves, and onto his eyes, to his love. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.